Morning, folks. This is Scott, your host at Sharing the Burden. We're live at 102.9 FM, whistlefm.com, formerly Whistle Radio. Sharing the Burden believes in life recovery. We are a life recovery group, and we follow the 12 steps of sharing the burden to support the hurting. All are welcome at our meetings. We hold weekly meetings in several locations. Check out sharingtheburden.ca to find the meeting closest to you, or start your own. And we need one in Stouffville soon. Here we are again. Lane is in from Dallas. Welcome, Lane.
Thank you.
I know you've been here for a couple of weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of weeks, and I heard you telling our man behind the wires there, our producer Jay, that you're here for the summer. That's good to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you got plans beyond the summer, or are you kind of looking? I know you're looking at different
Probably going back to Texas in a few weeks.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. So, you were on the show just over a year ago, I think. I was looking at those pictures this morning. Yeah, I posted one of them. And, as a matter of fact, I had the same shirt on, so that tells you how often I go to the, to the store to buy a new one. But anyway, we're talking today on humility, and mainly because the seventh phase of the program here at Sharing the Burden, as a matter of fact, throughout the 12-step philosophy is, humbly asking for help with this step, asking the God, however we understand God and whatever God means to us, asking that entity, that higher power to help us with these shortcomings, to get rid of them if we're so ready to be rid of them. Now, we read a couple of things this morning. Lane had a look at them and on the way up here in the car, actually, and haven't given Jay a fair shot at that, but we may ask him for an opinion or so one time or other. You're always good for that, aren't you, Jay?
I sure am, definitely. Let me know and I'll give it.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to read a couple of things from today's reading, which, by the way, folks, is from the Life Recovery Devotional, and the way that works, there are 30 readings for each month. We use the step that corresponds with the month. So in other words, July being the seventh month, we would be on the seventh step. The day, there's always a day written on each page, day 1 through 30. So day 10 would represent the 10th of July, July 10th. My mom's birthday, actually, just remembered that. Happy birthday, Mom. Hope things are going well up there in heaven, because we still got our things to deal with down here. Anyway, it's called A New Freedom, today's reading. And the first thing I wrote this morning when I read this, and I always write and scribble and make all kinds of colors so that I can think straight about it when I look back at it, I wrote, I can do so little on my own, you know. And that's, I think that's the basis for humility. I don't know what you think, Lane, but if I really believe that I need a lot of help to not only get through this life, but to get the most out of me and the most out of people that I deal with, I need to be humble. And I think humility means that to me. It means, less opinionated, more quiet, just not always having an answer for everybody else, even myself. So, I don't know. Have you got a thought on humility? I know you were reading a couple of things earlier. Is anything that strikes home with you when you read about the, either in the program or out of the program? It doesn't really matter.
Well, I think humility is understanding that you don't have all the answers. Mm-hmm. And if your distorted thinking got you into a mess, it probably can't get you out of it. So you may have to change your way of thinking, or rely on a higher power. Yeah. Or a little both.
Yeah. So when you talk about higher power, I think you're a Christian.
I am.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And by the way, folks, that's not a qualifier by any means. It's simply a statement. We both happen to be Christians, but we welcome people from absolutely every walk. As a matter of fact, I've had several Muslims in the jails lately coming out to meetings and quite enjoying them, you know, and the first thing I always talk about is the fact that there is no qualification to be involved in our program. Our program is simply for people who, think there might be a better way out there. Maybe they can use some help for one thing or another. So let me read a bit of this, and then we can go on from there. So again, the seventh step says, we humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. I added to that this morning and decided to believe that he would. So we don't not only have to humbly ask, we have to believe that it's possible. that it will happen, that these things, you know, really are not only possible, but we've got to almost declare that we will at some point, you know, God will answer this prayer and get this thing out of our way and we'll be able to move on. I think if we don't have that solid sense that this can really come true, we're probably barking up a tree that's going to take a long time to bark down, should we say. So it says here, many of us have lived life with a recurrent sense of dissatisfaction. There's a hunger and thirst inside that just can't be filled. Our problems seem like mountains far too big for us to scale. Our own shortcomings seem like deep, dark valleys. They lead us away from all the positive goals we've set. We set out to deal with the mountains of life and find ourselves going down into the deep valleys of old patterns. And I would say if we're so affected by our addictions, we'll relapse into them. A question here says, will we ever break free and find a better way? Well, Scripture says, I will say to the prisoners, come out in freedom, and to those in darkness, come into the light. They will be my sheep, grazing in green pastures on hills that were previously bare. The searing sun will not reach them, and they will be led beside cool waters. Mountains will be leveled and pathways or highways will be raised to above the valleys. Now, that's very poetic and beautiful. But in real life, how do we get out of the valleys and find roads that go across the valleys rather than down and into them and so on? So, I don't know. Is there anything in particular, Lane, when you think of your life, not necessarily habits or compulsions or ways or, but when you think about yourself, I mean, you've been around these type of programs for a little while now, whether being for yourself or, in hope that you'd be able to help somebody else in some way or other. But, you've been around them for a little while and you've probably heard in the step four, we do what's called an inventory and we look mm-hmm. at what we find, you know, good about ourselves, bad about ourselves, how we got to where we are. And, have you found anything that if you were working on this seventh step, that you would ask be removed from you? Is there anything in particular that I know you said, no, I haven't done that step, but, can you think of anything you'd rather be without? In terms of who you are?
Well...
That's a bit of a tough one, but...
Yes. Strong desire to always people please and to make myself unhappy or not care if it's something I don't want to do to please somebody else.
Yeah, people pleaser. Actually, that's a good one because... People-pleasing really falls into that whole enabling characteristic, too. So, mm-hmm. or the savior complex, you know, trying to, as we spoke on the way up, trying to fix everybody, people, places, things, anything that needs fixing, you know, we'll champion that thing and that'll, you know, that'll help other people. And if they're helped, I'll feel good. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of the kind of the thing there. So, in people-pleasing, you often hear... people in some of the co-programs, like the Al-Anon program for families of people with addictions to alcohol, you know, they are saying, well, you know, I feel like a used rug, like I'm trampled on all the time and this kind of thing. And I think it's mainly because they try so hard to fix how they feel inside by reaching outside to, you know, to either fix things outside, create better patterns of life, more hope, provide more hope for people out there. And what they do is they omit to take proper care of themselves. It's not that they're unselfish so much or any of those kinds of things. It's just that this is how they get filling. They have to be fixing, doing, saving. And it's as bad, if not worse, than the addictions themselves. As a matter of fact, a lot of the so-called psychiatrists, psychologists, counselors today are believing that underlying all addiction is codependency or co-addiction, which really is exactly what we're talking about. So Lane, have you got any thoughts on that, or should I just keep going here?
You can keep going.
Keep going? Okay. All right, I'll do just that. So here we're talking, okay, the searing sun will not reach them anymore. You know, and then it says, and again, it's talking about God because this is a scripture reference. It says, for the Lord in his mercy will lead them. He will lead them beside cool waters, make mountains level. Highways will be raised above the valleys. So anyway, what it's saying to me here is that I'm taking the first person position of God here, which I don't ever plan to do, but I am just for this exercise. I'm saying, well, these are the things I'm going to do for you, you know. Those deepest valleys and darkest places, you know, I'm going to flatten them out. I'm going to provide highways above them. I'm going to give you what you need to overcome these things, you know. I'm going to do the physical things even that are necessary to give you what you need to feel right about this thing. But the difference is you'll know I gave them to you, you know. So I am your higher power or whatever. So it's kind of like a communication with something greater than ourselves. And, you know, further on it talks about, you know, God's mercy. Some of the problems that now seem insurmountable will become approachable. And I think that's oftentimes we don't really ever really look at the problem, which is always us. You know, it really is. I mean, in the end, you know, we can remove everybody, and the biggest problem is that we're still there, you know, and we just can't get rid of me no matter what we do, you know, unless we go the ultimate route, and that doesn't seem to pay off either. So we still have to take steps forward. So you've been taking steps now, and you're, I don't know what one you're working on in particular, but...
Step four.
You're working on four?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you'd be taking an inventory. Do you have a way to do that, or you know, are you working with somebody to?
Yeah, they have a lot of resources online and sheets to fill out for the list of character defects.
Yeah, but you haven't found any.
No, not yet.
You know, I was just going to say you should read the
Humility again.
The 30. I think it's the last proverb, 31st, chapter 31. It's about the perfect woman.
Ah.
It's neat, actually.
I have my own chapter.
Yeah, you do. And, you know, your name's on it from here on. But really, and it talks about that, but it also talks about the responsibilities that go with being that. I mean, it's really neat. So, and at the bottom here says, you know, true freedom is discovered as God nourishes the hunger in our souls. Anyway, as we think of that, that's a little deep. We'll take a moment. We'll let our master Jay over here take us away to some bill payers, possibly, I would guess.
Yeah, it's time to pay those bills now.
Right on. We'll be back in about a minute or so.